our sports program. It's balanced both with gender in terms of funding for the various minority sports, and we're very pleased. Ron Gunther clearly is going to be a hard individual to replace. He's brought a great deal of integrity to our program. He's enabled us to build facilities with support from donors that provide us with a very first-class environment, not only for training and competition, but also for the educational programs. Let me turn quickly to a document that I provided to you a couple of weeks ago, and that's the strategic plan. Several years ago, the campus initiated a serious planning process, and each May, faculty leaders and administrative leaders come together under the leadership of the provost to review our goals for the year, to look at our accomplishments, and to look forward. And I thought you might be interested in some of the things that we've made real progress on. Graduation rates, including those of underrepresented students. The sixth-year graduation rate remains strong and has surpassed targets. This year, the gap between overall graduation rate and that of African Americans and Hispanics closed. We feel good about the progress we're making. Retention continues to be an issue for students who come from underrepresented categories and arrive on our campus with a scholarship and other support and then struggle to find the resources to continue. And that, again, emphasizes the importance of President Hogan's scholarship program. Financially, our strength remains a challenge for us. Our cash balances are up. Our units have been very conservative. We've done this in order to be able to anticipate challenges. We have a number of units that had historically built very significant deficits. And we're pleased that through the management that the Office of the Provost has put in, we've been able to bring those down by 23%. We did execute a voluntary retirement separation program last year. It's now wrapping up this summer as people under contract finish their terms. We anticipate our footprint will be reduced by 483 as of today, and we have 70 more in the pipeline to leave us by August. Undergraduate student quality, ACT composite scores continue to go up. I have a great deal of pride in the quality of students, even with the size of the class that we have. 7,000 students is a very large class. Word about online education in the next slide. The number of instructional units has seen a significant increase over the past 3 years, up 166% since 2006. And it's originally past the target, which is the blue and the extreme right that we had set earlier. So we feel good about the progress that's been made since this responsibility was brought back to the campus from the earlier Global Campus Initiative. Energy consumption, obviously something that's been of great interest to us. And as you can see in this slide, we have made significant progress. We're still higher than our peers by about 20%. And as we have the opportunities to recommission buildings to address deferred maintenance and also to just institute conservation measures, we expect that we'll continue to make progress on this front. Licensing and patents, we have a faculty that with Dr. Shook's leadership is very aggressively involved in trying to move technologies into the marketplace, and you see some of the impacts there. Let me turn quickly to another topic. As Rick Hill kind of alluded, I've had the chance to be in several places around the world over the past year. We spent some time in Mexico with Trustee Tortolero. We were in India, visited our project in Singapore, Taiwan, and then most recently in China. It's interesting to have the opportunity to look at us, the university, from someone else's perspective. And as I travel around to these places, I ask myself, are we creating opportunities not just for international students to come to Illinois, not just for our scholars to engage and work with other collaborators, but are we creating opportunities for Illinois business? In Mumbai, India, for example, we had a chance to meet with Ratan Tata. He has 330,000 employees in the United States. Just landed a 1,000-employee factory in Ohio. He has a strong relationship with Ohio State University that goes back many years. I suspect that might have had something to do with the reason that they thought of putting their facilities there. While we were in Mumbai, we also met with Mukesh Ambani, the famous leader of the company called Reliance. He is looking to the Urbana campus to partnership to create food and agricultural systems that relate to his business, and I think create opportunities for Illinois business to engage with them. In India, we also met with India's Minister for Human Resource Development, Kapil Sibal. He talked a great deal about innovation and the clear goal that innovation isn't just creating an idea, it's transferring it into a marketable product. And I asked myself, are we doing that as well as we should? Are the ideas that emerge from our campus transferring into marketable products? We turn briefly to China. In Beijing, I visited our colleagues who do the high-speed rail research and design work for the government of China. That's Beijing Jiaotong University. As you know, the universities in China specialize in a sector of the economy, and theirs is transportation. They focus on that issue. We've had a long relationship with the rail group at Beijing Jiaotong University, and my reason for being on their campus was to renew our previous five-year MOU. We've had joint workshops now for the last 3 years. We visited the Chinese Academy of Sciences and had a fascinating tour of the work they're doing with facial and retina recognition programs. And I wasn't really surprised when Tom Huang's name came up, a faculty member who works in the Beckman Institute, who's very much involved in this kind of work and serves as an advisor to the work going on there. You made reference earlier to our commencement speaker, Bill Daly. He did a really, really outstanding job, and I appreciate the effort that was made, Mr. Kennedy, to bring him to our campus. He talked about innovation, he talked about creativity in the global marketplace. He reinforced our view that an expanded worldview is important for our students, and actually he challenged them to work to develop their abilities to do that. Let's turn to rankings briefly. Academically, our programs are well regarded in the world, and repeatedly as we travel around, we have that brought up as a subject of conversation. The colleges of engineering departments, the School of Chemical Sciences, our business departments, accounting and finance typically are pointed out as being global leaders. Our crop and plant sciences departments in the College of ACES are acknowledged. In fact, a lead article today in the New York Times front page story is about our plant science program at the Urbana campus. Well, this is one of the, perhaps the last time I'll address the board in any subsidy manner, and I want to just share a couple of thoughts as I wrap up here. And I would tell a story. Neil Merchant is the head of my home department. Trustee McMillan would know Neil well. And Neil likes to tell of his interview trip to the University of Illinois about 30 years ago. As they were leaving the building, going back to the airport for him to go back to Wisconsin, where he's a graduate student, he stopped the department head in the parking lot, and he said, "Dr. Becker, what will be my limitations at the University of Illinois?" And Neil tells this with great energy. He said, "Gene looked me in the eye and said, Neil, University of Illinois, the sky is the limit." And that truly, I think, is the genius of the University of Illinois, and that is bringing to our faculty, creating a culture that values collegiality and collaboration, and making it a place where it truly is the sky is the limit and allows every individual to achieve their true potential. One other quick story. I have a vivid memory of the first search committee that I sat on about 35 years ago. I was a junior faculty member, and we had interviewed about three candidates, as I recall. And we were getting ready to make a recommendation to go forward to the department head. And at the point of making the final decision, a senior faculty member stopped and said, "Will this person make us better?" The question was, will this person make me look bad? Will this person take resources away from me? But will this person bring us something that we don't have? Will this person make us better? And I've learned over the years that that question is asked over and over across our campus. The culture demands that the next generation bring knowledge, abilities forward that we don't have today to make us indeed better. And I believe truly that that's the essence of our long-term success as an academic enterprise. I'm optimistic. We're unafraid. As a campus, we take risks. We believe in producing the boundaries of knowledge. and in the process create opportunities for our students and faculty to move move the world forward. I look forward actually to our future with great optimism. I think we have strong leadership in place. Expect the next chancellor will have opportunities to make tough decisions. Maybe you'll find a campus that's well prepared to engage in those conversations and move forward aggressively. Thank you so much.
You mentioned that the notion that this might be the last meeting which you address the group in a substantive manner. And you know that may or may not be true, but certainly there will be a time when we want to address you to reflect, you know, our appreciation for the substance of your leadership. And if the right question is to ask about a potential employee in the future, you know, will they make us better? A question that might be asked about someone who was stepping down from a position, did they make us better? And I think, you know, absolutely there would be great unanimity that in your case you made the University of Illinois a better place.
Thank you
once again. Are there any questions of Bob, the actual report? Does anybody have any areas they? I was really impressed with the strategic plan, and I thought maybe you could give us a little more background on how that is developed, who's involved in the process, and of course the timing.
The strategic plan came into being with when President White came into his role as the leadership. He caused the campuses to each engage in developing a strategic plan. We took the exercise, as our colleagues did on the other two campuses, very seriously and developed a plan that was aggressive, but I think also a plan that reflected our ambitions in a way that was realistic. And we took seriously as a campus, and I had little to do with this. I was in the role of a dean at that time. The campus leadership took the responsibility for annually reviewing the plan and the kind of document that you see here and engaging in conversations around that and asking ourselves, are we making progress? Do we have the right goals? Do we have the right objectives? And I've been impressed, as I've been in the room for several years now with those conversations, the extent to which individuals truly do use this planning process effectively in the college level and beyond department levels to think about in a very focused way where they're going, what areas are priorities, what areas are not priorities. And what you see reflected here is the overall campus strategic plan. But they're underlying this are plans that each college submits to the campus as it goes through its planning process in the early spring. So it's more than just a campus level exercise. It's an exercise that goes down to the colleges.
And that entire document is available?
The individual documents can be made available, yes.
Well, I thought it was very impressive and very helpful.
And I think just another point, Mr. Kennedy, this was intended as a 5-year plan. We're now at the end of that. I think it's opportune that a new chancellor will have the opportunity, if that individual chooses to cause this kind of in-depth analysis to be moved forward for the future.
And is it aided? Is there a facilitator?
We had Vice President or Assistant Ghosh had a very, very capable strategic planner in his employ in the College of Business 5 years ago, and the Provost Office borrowed or stole Stig Landeskog to lead the planning process. And we still employ him at a small percentage. He now leads the MBA program and the Provost's office to help facilitate the annual accumulation of data, analysis of data, and then the meetings where these conversations occur. So there's been an investment and a very highly qualified staff to enable this to occur.
I might just ask one more question, which is, could you describe what